Okay, as part of this Cadet Sunday, I've been asked to work with that theme, the theme, God Seeking Us. And earlier we had a litany from on this theme, and there was a verse that was quoted in there from Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. And actually we'll begin reading at Ezekiel 34, verse 11. So the first verse is actually the cadet verse, and I'll read that within the context of Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 11. So hear then the word of God. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest of your the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So far then, the reading of God's word. Hopefully that's better. Dear people of God, I'm sure most of us have played hide and seek at one time or another. I know I certainly played that game at times as a young boy, and later at times I did that with my kids. And now I get to enjoy that at times with my grandchildren when we have the opportunity to see them. And the idea with hide and seek is that we try to find such a good hiding place that we'll be the last one to be found, right? Because then we win if we're the last one found. But what if you were to find such a good place that no one could find you? Do you ever find one like that? I mean, you wait and you wait and you hear all the other ones discovered in their hiding places, but they don't know where to find you. You know you're going to win. And then it begins to feel like they've given up. No one is even bothering to look for you anymore. They've moved on to a new game and they seem to have forgotten about you. Suddenly it starts to feel somewhat lonely in that amazingly good hiding spot. Did you know that very early in the Bible, when everything in the world was still very good, God made it that way, and he said so himself, that everything was very good. At that time, a couple of people played a very serious game of hide and seek. Who were they? Adam and Eve. They never had to hide like that before. Before that, everything was still perfect. And yet God, during that time when everything was still perfect, God came into the garden and God would talk things over with them. But then Adam and Eve decided that they knew things better than God. Actually, it was the devil who suggested this idea to them. And as soon as they acted on that suggestion, everything went totally wrong. For the first time, they were actually afraid of God. They were afraid of the God who created them. They were afraid of the God who loved them. And what did they do? The next time they heard God walking through the garden to have a chat with them, they hid from God. They probably hoped to find a place where God would never find them. Which begs the question, how would they have felt if they had never have been found? What if God had eventually given up on trying to find them? And God went on to do other things. That would have even been worse than if your friends give up on finding you in a game of hide and seek. But not to worry. God never gives up on us. He loved Adam and Eve too much to leave them there all alone in their hiding spot. He not only found them, but he looked after them, and he promised that one day he would straighten out the mess that they had made in their lives. Now there were others in the Bible who also tried hiding from God. There's the example of Jonah. When God told Jonah to preach about his love to some people that Jonah hated, Jonah tried to run away from God, to hide from God. He ended up being dumped in the middle of the sea as a result. But God didn't leave Jonah there. God reached out to Jonah and rescued him in the belly of a whale, allowing Jonah another opportunity to finish his mission to the people of Nineveh. Now there may also be times that we want to hide. That we want to hide from parents. That we want to hide from classmates or coworkers who are mean to us. There may even be times where we want to hide from God in our lives. And maybe we really don't even want God to find us. We might even wonder at times whether God cares enough to want to find us again. David, who the Bible describes as a man after God's own heart, once wondered where he could go to get away from God. David writes in Psalm 139, verse 1 through 4, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know where I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." In other words, David discovered that there's no place where God will never be able to find us. God created every place we could think of to try to hide from God. And you know, that's a good thing. God never gives up looking for us when we try to hide from him. Because God wants to be present in our lives wherever we are, no matter what we're doing. That's what God wants for each one of us. For us to be with him and for him to be with us so that we can talk with God, so that we can love him and serve him with our lives. And that we do that all because God is the God who loves us first. And that's where the cadet theme verse from Ezekiel 34 comes in. In those Old Testament times, God noticed that many of the people of Israel had wandered away from God in their lives. Many of the Israelites didn't even know God anymore. They were just like a bunch of sheep wandering all over the place, getting lost, not knowing where to go. And did God give up on them? No way. God told Israel through his prophet Ezekiel that because no one was telling the people how to live right with God, that God himself would reach out to them. As Ezekiel 34, verse 11, the cadet verse says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." Now, interestingly, there's a number of passages in the Bible that deal with this theme of God as the great shepherd, that deal with the theme of God, the great shepherd, looking out for his sheep. And, of course, by the word sheep, God, of course, means the people that he loves. We are part of God's sheep. We are included in this description when God talks about caring for his sheep. In the New Testament, in John 10, Jesus refers to himself as the great shepherd, as the good shepherd. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a parable about the lost sheep. And in Psalm 23, probably one of the best known psalms of the Bible, it starts off saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures." All these passages, they help us to reflect on what it means that God is the shepherd who cares for his people. And yet at the same time, we need to realize that that's only one side of it, that God is the caring shepherd in our lives. Because Ezekiel 34 also goes on to refer to the leaders of Israel as shepherds, saying in verse 2, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?" And then a little further, Ezekiel 4 also refers to Israel as a bunch of fat sheep who care only for themselves without any concern for the malnourished or the lost sheep among them. And as a result of that, God said that he would remove Israel from the pasture lands of their homeland, and God would drag them off into captivity in the land of Babylon, which is now modern-day Iraq. God would scatter Israel like lost sheep because of their selfishness and because of their disregard for God and his holy way of living. In this time of captivity, God wanted Israel to learn the painful lesson that God would not put up with their self-centered ways that ignored God and his way of truth and life. Thankfully, that wasn't the end of the story for Israel. God assured them that he would not give up on them as his people. God would not forsake them, even when they felt like a bunch of miserable lost sheep in that land of Babylon. God promised that one day he would straighten out the mess that they had made of their lives. As Ezekiel says in verse 11 through 13, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land." God would search for his lost sheep, and God would once again provide for all their needs in their beloved homeland. And not only that, God makes a promise in verse 23 of even better things to come. "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. And this, of course, points to the coming of God's Son, Jesus, who would come into this world as the Savior for the lost sheep of this world. Jesus himself talks about that in John 10, where Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. And in contrast to the sinful and the self-serving shepherd in Ezekiel's day who ignored the needs of the people and who looked out only for themselves, Jesus says in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's right. Jesus didn't just look out for himself. As our good shepherd, Jesus humbly sets aside his own needs and he sacrificially gives up his life on the cross for the lost and wandering sheep of this world. And like the Old Testament Israelites, if we have a good look at our lives, we realize that we don't always put God first in our lives either. And we realize that in our self-centered way of looking at life, we don't always show a sacrificial love and concern for the people that God places in our lives. On our own, we don't deserve to live in the green pasture lands of God's heavenly kingdom. Thankfully, we can look to Jesus, the good shepherd, who gave up his life for lost and wandering sheep like you and I. Jesus, the good shepherd, seeks us out from our straying ways. And Jesus invites us into a renewed relationship with him so that we can once again thrive and live an abundant new life for him in this world. And that's what God does for us. As Ezekiel 34, verse 11 says, God says to us, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As our great shepherd God, he gives us a reason for living in this world, and he gives us a hope for the life to come. Earlier, I referred to Psalm 23, the psalm that starts out in verse 1 saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. That same psalm, Psalm 23, ends with these words in verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That great promise, that great hope was fulfilled in Jesus, the good shepherd, who gave up his life for us as his sheep. And so on this Cadet Sunday, as we celebrate the work that God is doing in our cadet ministry in this church, we not only celebrate the boys who participate in our cadet ministry, but we also want to acknowledge the important work that our cadet counselors do as part of this cadet ministry. We want to acknowledge the important way that they sacrifice of their time to lovingly point these boys to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. As counselors, as cadet counselors, you have the privilege to model a Christ-like love and commitment to Jesus, to these boys. To these boys who sometimes feel like lost and deserted sheep in this world. And God not only gives you as counselors the opportunity to guide the boys of our own church family into a living relationship with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, but God has also given you as counselors the privilege to reach out to some boys from our community who need a positive male role model that's often missing in their lives. I know it's not always easy for you as counselors to work with a rambunctious group of young boys. We saw some of that up here this morning. But God has given you as counselors the opportunity to be a Jesus figure to these boys. And admittedly, at times these boys can test your patience, and it certainly requires some sacrifice on your part. But as counselors, God calls you to shepherd these boys with an unconditional love and acceptance that Jesus himself has modeled to us. This kind of unconditional love and acceptance Many times, sadly, that's something that these boys don't always experience in their own lives. But God wants you as counselors to provide a safe and loving place in our cadet ministry where these boys can hopefully come to know Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for his sheep. And as a church family, it's important for us to support these cadet counselors in this important work, that we support them with our prayers and our encouragement. But as a church, God also wants us to reach out as a church to the lost and the wandering sheep of this community. God wants us to point them to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who also wants them to be part of the sheep pen of his church. As Jesus says in John 10, verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And you know, earlier I mentioned that we plan to start another Alpha course again in this church in a couple of weeks. And really that's part of our ministry of trying to reach out to the people of this community, to reach out to the lost and the wandering sheep of this community so that we can introduce them in an exploration process of discovering Jesus as the Savior of this world, who gave up his life for the lost sheep of this world. Through Alpha, we believe that God can use this so that they can hear the voice of Jesus calling out to them. Because Jesus wants them to hear his voice. Jesus wants us as a church to be used as his voice for him in this community. That we invite people to come and explore who Jesus is as the Good Shepherd who gave up his life for his sheep. As Jesus says in the parable about the lost sheep in Luke 15, there will be rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven for every lost sheep who repents of their wandering ways. And the good news of the Bible is that God will never stop looking for people in their hiding places in this world. God will never stop looking until he finds everyone who he wants to be part of the sheep pen of his church. And God wants to use you and me in this process of inviting people to experience a new and thriving relationship with him as the shepherd God of this world. And so may God use us in that way to be the voice of Jesus in this world. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know how sometimes we feel somewhat like lost and wandering sheep in this world. That you know how sometimes we can get caught up in our self-centered ways and how we often ignore you as the God of this world. You also know, Lord God, how sometimes we get so caught up in our own selfish way of looking at things in our lives that we ignore the needs of people around us. We pray, Lord God, that you will forgive us for that. But more so, Lord God, we thank you that you assure us that you never give up on us, that you continue to search for us, that you continue to love us and to care for us no matter what. Thank you, Lord God, for sending us your Son, Jesus, as our Good Shepherd, who came into this world to give up his life for us on the cross. That you, Lord Jesus, that you came to set us free from our natural way of being selfish people. Thank you for your grace and your love for us, no matter what. And we pray, Lord God, that you will help us to respond to this amazing gift of your love, your grace, your forgiveness by showing that same kind of love, grace, and compassion to other people around us. Use us, Lord God, to reach out to the lost and wandering sheep of this community. And use us through your Holy Spirit's leading to point them to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who wants to include others in the sheep pen of his church. Lord God, we pray that you will work with your Spirit to use us and to lead us to be used as your instruments who bring the hope of Jesus to the people of this community in your name. So we pray that in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.